Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining me here today is one of my very best business friends, Jessica Panierko of Anchor Watch Marketing. Whether I catch myself in a sticky situation and in need advice, want to chat with someone who just gets it, or I have something excited to share, Jess is always that person I turn to. And because of that, I'm super excited to have her here with us and share her with you and be able to explain more about her business, what she does, and how she works with businesses throughout the state of Massachusetts. As I just mentioned, Jess is the owner of Anchor Watch Marketing, which she started after getting burnt out from years of working in corporate as a sales training specialist and brand launch manager. She ended up realizing that she could take those same exact skills and transfer them to working with small business owners in her very own community. Jess and her team specialize in brand strategy, website design, and management and consulting, helping businesses not only create memorable brands and spectacular websites, but also to find a balance of their own. Jess, thank you for being here. And let's dive right in and have you share with our listeners who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. So as you mentioned, I am the owner of Anchor Watch Marketing. I've been in business now for about 2.5 years, officially started at the beginning of 2020 before the world, you know, obviously changed quite a bit. But I really started after, like you said, I left my job. I had been working for years in the biopharmaceutical industry and was just traveling a lot for work, was on the road a lot. I was away from home, working to launch like a really, really large product in a couple different indications. So training sales teams on messaging and really aligning the entire business unit on a very clear strategy for launch and what that brand represented. And so when I made the decision to leave, I wasn't entirely sure where I was going to end up. And I started freelancing, just kind of working with a couple people I knew in the community. And as I started to do that, I realized it was such a great balance for me to bring some of the skills that I already had from my previous, you know, I call it my corporate life, and implement those for people who I could really see benefiting it from what I was bringing to the table. These were primarily, you know, solopreneurs or very small businesses that felt really overwhelmed by their marketing and knew they needed help, but weren't entirely sure what that help looked like. So what started off as a couple website designs, I could never stop myself from wanting to really tackle the overall strategy of their business and saying, of course, you know, we can build you a website. That's beautiful, but if you're going to put money into it and it's going to help you grow your business, it should come from a place of strategy. And, you know, it should help you to grow your business, to reach the right people, to increase your sales, to increase the leads that are in your funnel. And so from there, I really started to transition more into brand strategy because that's where my history is. It's in helping these, you know, whether it's super big brands that are international products or local companies that are trying to reach targets within their own community. The concept is the same. It's the idea that you need to speak directly to your customers and fully understand what it is and not just sell a product or a service, but you need to sell a solution to a problem or meet a need that they have. And so primarily, you know, a lot of my clients come in first and foremost looking for that brand strategy. And what I do is really sit down and map out what that looks like to them, which ends up being a ton of information, you know, everything from a mission statement and why you're doing what you're doing through to identifying what your values are as a business. And usually for solopreneurs and, you know, small business entrepreneurs, those are very tied to your personal values as well. Most people don't start a small business just for the sake of, you know, fun. It's usually right. Because they have a real personal attachment to what they're doing. And then really taking a look at who your ideal clients are, what their needs are, what their customer journey looks like, what might be the decision process for them deciding to buy something that you're selling, and then pushing that through to your messaging and your strategy. So that's a pretty big part of what I do. And then from there, we move into a lot of implementation. What does that look like for your website? What does that look like for your social media, your content marketing, right? It should be very consistent. And a lot of my clients at some point in this process have a bit of like an aha moment of like, okay, I understand now what my marketing should be from the standpoint of, you know, what the psychology behind it is, instead of feeling right. like I need a website, I need to post on social media, I need to do email marketing. Those, they see those things as separate entities, but to bring it all together into one strategy gives them a reason and an understanding for why they're doing those things. And then those things are just so much easier.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, Jess actually lived in Cambridge for a number of years before moving to Marshfield in 2018, was it?
Yep. So we bought our house in 2018 and made the trek from the city. And so that was another aspect of me leaving my job, is that commute was, you know, I went from being able to walk to work to being, you know, taking a commuter rail train to the Red Line.
Right.
So it was a major difference in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, absolutely. And from making that transition from the city to a small coastal town like Marshfield, you've ended up getting a lot of clients that are in that area or mainly focused in Massachusetts specifically. And so that's something that a lot of our listeners are really keen about, is being able to attract customers that are local to them. So I'd love if you could share what you did to be able to cultivate those relationships locally, and then also help your clients do the same.
Yeah. So for me personally, I would say, you know, I had started my business obviously right before COVID really kind of broke out. And I was living in an area where I still didn't really know a ton of people. And so one of the decisions I made early on was to join my local chamber of commerce here in Marshfield. And even through the pandemic, when everything was virtual, they provided me with a lot of opportunities to do, you know, virtual networking events. And that was really how I met a lot of people. And I am a very strong advocate for chambers of commerce. I think it's one of those things where you get what you put in, right. and that, you know, you pay for your membership and that's great, but it's also understanding that at its core, a chamber of commerce is a network of small business owners in your community who have very common interests, right? And the best way to leverage that is to go and meet those people where they are. And, you know, people aren't going to be able to give you referrals or recommendations if they don't know who you are and what you do. But making those personal connections in a way that you can through a chamber of commerce, you know, you might have something where this person who owns, say, like a car detailing company that you know, I offer marketing, they might know someone else, you know, oh, my cousin has a business that does this. And I might say, you know what? Oh, my husband could use car detailing, right? Like, you're not even realizing the connections that you make because you're kind of just looking at your business through a little bit of like blinders. But for me, the chamber opened up so many opportunities because I got to meet personally so many people. And now I, you know, whether I need power washing in my backyard or I need, you know, I plants for my garden, I know business owners in my community. And so I frequent those businesses. And for me, that's been beneficial because now they know who I am. I get to explain what I do. And I'm top of mind when they're thinking about, you know, whether they need marketing or not. Now they know me. And so they're thinking about me when they have conversations with people in their day-to-day lives. So that I think is huge. I tend to recommend to my clients that are, you know, really focusing on local businesses to do the same, whether it's, you know, whatever area they're in. There's a lot of great chambers of commerce across the state of Massachusetts. So, you know, finding one or a couple that includes, you know, people that you can make direct connections with. You know, and there's a lot of things from a marketing standpoint that you can do, whether it be, you know, leveraging social media and engaging with other community members. You know, I've had some clients that have had great success, you know, launching businesses mostly by connecting with other area business owners through social media. And even, you know, SEO, local SEO, there's a ton of opportunity to target your audience through the keywords you use on your website, the way you use your Google My Business profile, and, you know, building it out so that you can reach not just other business owners, but, you know, customers in a way where they are, where they're actually at.
Absolutely. And then you just mentioned a few really good pieces of gold that I wanted to highlight on, with the first being Chambers of Commerce. So just like Jess, I'm a very big proponent of finding local Chambers of Commerce that you can join, whether it's exactly for the town or city that you live in, or there's some regional ones that you can join as well, which help to cover an area of locations, kind of giving you a bigger geographic region to network in. The Marshfield Chamber of Commerce is actually how Jess and I met. And so with that, it's just been really beneficial for people to join these chambers, not only to get business from it, but also be able to have those connections that will come from it too. And so the other thing that you mentioned was local SEO, which I'm glad you brought it up, because if you didn't, I was going to and pick your brain about it. But before we touch base about local SEO, I'd love to dive a little bit more into the chamber specifically, because I think as a business owner, it's important to not only be a member, but also get involved. And so that can end up giving even more benefits, just being able to volunteer your time. Mm-hmm. And so with you being one of the board members of the Marshfield Chamber, I'd love to hear your perspective on why it's important to get involved with your local chambers and what it can really do for business owners, and why it's just so important to be able to find ways to help out whenever you can.
Yeah, so I joined the board, as you know, this year because, you know, one, I met so many people through the chamber, and two, in 2021, I mean, the chamber was my greatest source of revenue, both through referrals that they gave me and, you know, offering me work through grants that came in through the state. And so it, to me, it makes so much sense, right? This is a literally a group that's set up to help you as a small business owner. They are very involved in things that are happening across the town that you might not know about, as, you know, I don't have kids, right? So I don't know if there are things going on through the school, but there's a lot of opportunities that come up for me to either network or sponsor or attend events, so that I can meet more people in the community, where if it wasn't for the Chamber of Commerce, I would have no idea. And part of the reason that I wanted to give back to that is because, I mean, small business owners are my clients, and I see such a huge value in being able to have, you know, the more people participate, the greater the chamber is. If everyone joins and is just expecting when they pay their fees, you know, that it's just going to be a landslide of referrals. Well, it operates on the people that show up, that volunteer and give their time. So in order for it to keep that wheel turning, we all kind of have to pitch in a little bit. And I think also viewing the chamber, not as the organization or the board at the top, but the entire network of small business owners, really changed, you know, my perspective on it personally.
Absolutely. And it's so easy to be able to find a chamber and get involved in one. If you just do a quick Google search, Chamber of Commerce, like for me, Middleborough, Massachusetts, you can easily find local ones that pop up. And I've seen many chambers also offer the option for people who are considering becoming a member, attend events for free. So that way they can get a taste of the organization, the people who are a part of it, what the events are like, et cetera, which really gives you a good insight into whether or not it's a good fit. But I'm definitely also a big believer in kind of testing the waters and not just sticking to one source, but perhaps joining a few different organizations as long as it works with your schedule and also helps bring you closer to achieving goals that you've set.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that for me comes back to the strategy that I bring to my clients, right? You need to understand who your customers are and who is likely to be buying from you or who you should be targeting. And you should use that to make the decisions of how you network one-on-one, right? So if you are you know, selling dance classes, if there's an opportunity to meet with a lot of area moms, that's a great networking opportunity for you. So I also find that chambers tend to be really open to ideas. So if you had an idea like that and you said, you know, it would be great if there was like a working moms group, or, you know, for instance, in Marshfield, we've got the Women in Business group, you know, they tend to be a very open and, you know, excited group of people. So if you have ideas of ways that you can leverage your business or meet new people or start new initiatives, I mean, I found that they're pretty open to those ideas, which is great.
Right. Absolutely. Now I'd love to shift gears to local SEO, because that is a huge opportunity that businesses can capitalize on if they only really work with people who are within a certain geographic region. So for those who aren't familiar with local SEO, it's basically being able to optimize your website and your content to reach people within a certain location. So through the local SEO that I've achieved, even though I no longer work in Marshfield, I still have people who are coming from the South Shore finding me through Google because of what has been optimized and what has been organically growing from there. So now I'd love for you to share from like a high level standpoint, what local SEO is, how people can get started with it if they haven't heard of it or are unfamiliar with it, and then how they know it's working.
Yeah. So I think it's important to understand the difference between just basic, you know, what we call like global SEO or national SEO, which tends to be keywords, typically long tail keywords, which are what you would put into a Google search bar, right? And seeing what the traffic looks like for a certain search term, which, you know, it could be what's a local chamber of commerce near me, right? That's like a long tail keyword. Whereas there is an opportunity for local SEO, as you said, if you target people within your immediate area, and that's primarily who your target audience is, that focuses specifically on, say, South Shore, Massachusetts, or Greater Boston, or, you know, Marshfield, and allows you to, I think the greatest thing that people ever recognize from it is if someone's searching in a specific area and they get that list of, you know, here are the top five, you know, attorneys in this area, you want to be on the top of that list. And that's where excelling at local SEO gives you the greatest opportunity. Whereas you're not trying to reach the entire country, you're trying to reach the people who specifically have patterns of searching in that area. So there are a number of different approaches to SEO, but local SEO is the way to go if you're a local business who's the primary bulk of your customers are in, you know, a general area.
Absolutely. And it makes it really great to capitalize on that organic traffic that's coming through and be able to reach people who aren't halfway across the state, who would never drive the hour plus distance right to be able to come to your store or whatever it may be. So with someone who's looking to get found by those local people, would you say that it goes beyond using your website and optimizing that content, or how would you describe that process?
Yeah, so I think it's helpful to understand the way Google sort of tracks your website, because there's a lot of different things that come into it. Part of it is your website itself, what sort of keywords are showing up in your headers, if you are using meta tags on things, if you're including locations in the descriptions of your website, everything from like what you're, if you've logged the sitemap of your website with like a Google Search Console or something similar, if you're putting alternate descriptions on your photos, but some of it also is things that live off of your website. And one thing I think a lot of small business owners fail to capitalize on is using their Google My Business profile, because Google pulls a lot about your business from this. So They want to see that there's social proof that people are engaging with your business. So one of the greatest things that you can do to improve your local SEO is to get your customers to leave reviews, because Google wants to see that people are actually engaging with your business. And that's one of the ways that they do that. Also, you know, if you have a lot of links on your page, linking out to other credible sources. So, you know, if you're blogging, I'm sure, you know all about this. If you're blogging, referring on your website to a source, a reputable source, you know, like HubSpot or something where the authority of that page is really high, that also helps to improve your overall SEO. So there are, you know, a lot of tools out there, paid and some even basic free ones that will allow you to kind of see where your website's ranking up against maybe some of your direct competitors and where there's opportunity to improve the overall authority of your site so that Google starts to rank it a bit higher.
Absolutely. And for people who are local, they might say, I know so many people already in person that I don't need a website for my business. So what would you say to people who have relied on that local word of mouth marketing?
Well, you know, this is one of my favorite topics. We've talked about this a lot. My answer is it's 2022, first and foremost, right?
Yes.
And your website, I mean, unless you've decided that you have no capacity for any more business or you're scaling down or whatever that looks like for you, I mean, it's the purpose of your website is to help grow your business. You should be leveraging your website to capture leads, to nurture those leads, to regularly share updates on what you're doing, to share about your services. Otherwise, and this is an example I love, if someone's looking for you directly, say they hear about you and they search you in Google and Google doesn't have a website to direct them to, do you know what they're going to show them? They're going to show them another business who does what you do. So you are handing over business to someone else if you don't have a website for your business. I can't.
Basically shooting yourself in the foot.
You really are. You really are, because we all want business as business owners, right? We're not saying, you know what, I've had enough and I never want to get another client again. So not having a website to me is such a miss in your ability to grow your business. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing that I want to capitalize on too, because you really excel with helping your clients define this, is before you even begin thinking about your marketing, like really identifying that ideal client or customer profile. And so being able to know who you want to work with, how you can help them, what they may be coming to you for, and then being able to create your entire marketing plan around that. How would you describe that people who have a local clientele specifically would go about knowing who their ideal audience member would be?
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up. I do have a resource on my website for anybody who wants it to just kind of go and download a profile that you can fill out. I recommend that most businesses tend to, you know, usually have between 4 and 6. A lot of people come to me and they say, I know exactly who I'm targeting, right? Say I'm targeting millennials between the ages of 25 and 40 who like to shop for clothes. Okay, well, that's a very broad group, right? That includes moms in the suburbs, that includes women in the city, even in Massachusetts, right? So I think it's important to break down as simple of a level as you can who those people are, especially if you're targeting local people, because casting a super wide net is not necessarily the way to go. That's the way to kind of waste some of your marketing resources and just say, I'm going to market to everybody, right? That's like one of my favorite sayings. If you're marketing to everyone, you're marketing to no one. So even if, you know, you're afraid that getting specific limits who you can reach, you want to have a very solid idea of the psychology of the people you're marketing to. And the best way to do that is to get very specific about who they are.
Yeah, definitely. And then that way you're making sure that the content that you're creating, the services or products that you're offering are actually in line with those people and not attracting the wrong group of people and therefore completely steering you in the wrong direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
I mean,
yeah, it's been something
you can
that's
have
just...
good leads and bad leads, right? And
yes,
you don't want to waste your resources on a bad lead that is never going to convert to something useful for you or your business.
Right. Absolutely. And with being in Massachusetts and having your business here and working with people all across the state, what would you say is something that a business owner should know about having their business right in Massachusetts? Like whether it's about marketing or whether it's about just being able to start a business, what's one piece of advice that you kind of wish you had as you were starting your business in the state specifically?
So I'd say, I mean, I think people tend to discredit how diverse the state actually is. There's a really wide array of, you know, ethnicities and financial backgrounds, education backgrounds. Again, further proof of why you need to fully understand who it is that you're marketing to. I would say also there's a lot of resources available to small business owners in the state. I've done work with SCORE. You know, there's a lot of small business association opportunities. It doesn't have to be so intimidating, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because there are a lot of resources that, you know, are even free to you to be able to set your business up. And also, you know, just coming back to local SEO, I think there is a strong appetite, especially after what we've all been through over the last 2 years, for people to buy from local small businesses. So even if you do offer something that is available to the broader, you know, population of the country, don't ignore the fact that there are people in your community who would love to support you as a local business owner, and pass up the opportunity to market directly to them.
Absolutely. And to wrap things up with two questions left, I'd love if you could, one, share your favorite local business. So you could share one, you could share a handful, however many you'd like. I'd love to have you shout out some of your favorite places that you like to support.
Yeah, so for sure. I mean, this is a client of mine, but also just a favorite is Sprezzatura Boutique in Plymouth. Christine is the sweetest. She's a former teacher and, you know, built out this store that's just very focused on body positivity and everyone feeling comfortable and elegant in the clothes that they wear. I also really love Salt and Branch, which is a local candle maker and home decor. She's out of Quincy and just makes really beautiful, kind of heartfelt things. And that's really off the top of my head right now. I'd say those are two of my favorites.
Fabulous. And now I'd love if you could also share with our listeners where they can find you online, so that way if they'd like to follow you, ask you any questions, even just connect, they know how to do so.
Yeah, so my website is anchorwatchmarketing.com. I am on Instagram at anchorwatchmarketing, same as Facebook. They can email me at jessica@anchorwatchmarketing.com. Also, you know, LinkedIn, anywhere. Always love just meeting small business owners. That's one of my favorite things to do, because I'm really passionate about kind of helping them. And, you know, we certainly don't have to exchange any money. I just love being able to connect with people. So
definitely. And to reiterate what Jess mentioned earlier, she does have on her website a freebie of how to be able to identify your ideal client or your ideal customer. And I will link to all of those within the show notes, so that way, if any of you missed it as you're going through and listening to this episode, you can go through and click and follow and connect with Jess from there. But Jess, thank you so much for having us. And I hope our listeners enjoy listening to this as much as I did recording it with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.